Lectionary Lab Live is recorded in the studios of the 405 Oxford Group, Gainesville, Florida, and Brasstown, North Carolina, a Two Bubbas and a Bible production.
Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm here with my Bubba, Delmer Chilton. Say, hey, Bubba.
Hey, Bubba.
You're kind of in a special location, aren't you, this week there, Dr. Bubba?
Yeah, I am sitting at the about in the spot where I ate breakfast every day and most of my other meals for a long number of years. I'm in the old farmhouse in Surry County, North Carolina, and we're on our way to Chapel Hill. My son is graduating from UNC Law School tomorrow, so we're picking up Grandma and on the way.
Well, be sure to tell the esteemed Mrs. Chilton that we appreciate her being part of the mobile location of the Lectionary Lab Live. Getting ready to talk the text for the very exciting day of Pentecost, May the 19th, 2013. We are very happy today to have as our guest preacher and commentator the Reverend Katie Treadway. Katie is the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Tiffin, Ohio. Good afternoon, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
We're glad Katie made it. She's been fighting off a little sickness herself this spring, but she's tough and was determined to hang in here with us and be on the show today. I apologize. I'm still fighting off a little bit of a cold, but you two, Bubba and Katie, y'all are gonna make the show sound good today. Glad to have you. Katie is one of our friends and colleagues from the First Parish Program. Katie, we have enjoyed keeping in touch after meeting in that program a few years ago. Would you let our listeners know a little bit about you? Tell us a little bit about how you've gotten into ministry and where you are in your current setting in ministry. Tell us a little bit about your family, because that's always an important part for all of us as pastors and preachers.
I sure will, John. When I met you, I was actually serving a little church in Florida, in Sebring, Florida, the Spring Lake Presbyterian Church, and I served there for about 6 years. And then I moved in the midst of a January winter storm from Florida to Ohio, which could only be a call from God. And I have been at the First Presbyterian Church of Tiffin for, I'm in my fourth year now, and I'm enjoying serving them and getting to know them. They're an outreach kind of community and really involved in their community, and they've been teaching me more than I could ever teach them. So it's been a wonderful place to participate in ministry. I am married to Bill Treadway. We've been married for 18 years in a week. So actually, next week is our anniversary.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And he just graduated with his certification in spiritual direction, so I'm kind of proud of him. And then I have two girls, and they're not young anymore. They're 12 and 14 and getting ready to finish up middle school right now, and one of them's going to high school. It's just this year where everything's changing, so I'm really, really proud of them.
One other thing I have to just be sure to ask. I'm always looking for numerical superiority over my my Bubba here. Tell us where you did your seminary education.
I went to Vanderbilt Divinity School.
Vanderbilt Divinity School, a great place to get your training. And I just had to go ahead and get two Vandy grads and one Duke Divinity grad on the...
Well, it takes two Vandys to equal one Duke.
I set myself up for that one. Well, I tell you what, we better leave all of that foolishness aside and get on to the real purpose at hand today, which is dealing with the texts. The text we're going to work with today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 for our first reading. There's an alternative text in Genesis for this day. We are not dealing with that on this show, but we'll move on into Psalm 104. We'll have a reading from Romans chapter 8 and then finish today with the gospel in John chapter 14. Delmer, why don't you get us started and talk to us about the considerations for preaching for this day and lead us into that opening text from Acts chapter 2.
Well, I was interested. I was talking to somebody today about they were in the middle of writing their sermon, and I was talking about what they could do with it. And he said, well, you know, it's Pentecost, and I'm a visiting person, and they've got all this stuff going on. The sermon will be shorter. So it is for folks who observe this as a big liturgical day, the sermon might be a little shorter is one thing. It also needs to fit within that celebration of the birthday of the church. This is sort of the one time the mainline, sometimes it seems to me the one time mainline church is the existence of the Holy Spirit. A little afraid of. We're a little talking about that. So, and all of the texts sort of are tied together by some reference to the Holy Spirit. I think for most people, the Acts text will be the driver for the day in terms of the themes of the day, the coming of the Holy Spirit at the season of Pentecost. And I think it's a good thing. And I want to just sort of start in with that text. Instead of trying to say this is what this long story means, a few highlights for me, and then we'll just go into, I want to hit a conversation, some themes that leap out, because I don't think you can do them all in that kind of time. One is the issue of the gospel for everyone. You go through this, Jews and proselytes, Greek boatons and Arabs, all this long list. Back, you get down into Joel text, and talk, then old men and young men, even slaves, men and women, etc. So this is one of the most universalistic and inclusive texts in the Bible. And as the church is getting thrown out of the house and out into the streets, this is an important thing to remember, is that from the very beginning, it has been a diverse, pluralistic, and inclusive community. The second theme that leaps out at me is the one of disbelief. You know, people said they were filled with new wine. I think a theme that we could touch upon today is the part of being the church in America after Christendom is getting used to being either ignored or treated as we're a little bit crazy. I think we've gotten so used to being respected and cared and listened to, even when people weren't really paying attention, that we're a little discombobulated by this and some of the extreme folks, you know, the war on Christmas or the war on this or that. But even those of us who don't see it that way are to get used to being a central part, and there's a certain amount of acceptance of the idea of, oh, maybe they're drunk. I have not. And the third part, I really like the Joel text, you know, as it establishes. And sitting here at Mama's, I want to tell you a story I remember of preaching on Pentecost, and Mother was there. This is back in when I was a student pastor out of Duke, a little country church in Caswell County, and this text was read. I didn't preach on it. We came back to dinner, and my mom sat there, and she looked at me, and she said, well, I'd never heard that before. I guess women can be preachers. The Spirit will fall on men and women. And actually, their congregation ended up with a woman. At one time, they had a woman pastor, a woman district superintendent, and a woman bishop, and a woman minister did my father's funeral. And that's unusual in this part of the country. But it was the power of the word, the inclusivity. So those are my starting on Acts today.
Well, and you've already, of course, you've hit several things, and it's always a good thing to remember as pastors and preachers. We don't have to say everything there is to say about any particular text in any one particular sermon. Okay, this is a job and a task that we have over time. And so we certainly keep that in mind. I'm intrigued quickly, and then I'm going to go to you, Katie, in just a moment. But you said we, many times in the mainline church, have been a little uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, and particularly growing up and living in a time post-Pentecostalism and the rise of that. And I can remember in my good old Southern Baptist church growing up, and Katie, you've got some Baptist background here, we were almost afraid to talk about the Spirit. I mean, you wanted to be careful not to reach up and scratch your head during the worship service. Somebody would think you were raising your hands, you know, and so we just so reacted away from the work of the Holy Spirit. We didn't talk about it much. We didn't talk about these things. And even to the point of your example of women in ministry, women preaching, a lot of times we just shy away from what's not comfortable for us in Scripture. We can't afford to do that, I think. I believe as preachers particularly, we have to confront within the Scripture where it confronts us. We need to be willing to sit with it, deal with it. And we then are charged with helping our congregations to sit with these texts, to think about these texts, to meditate on these texts. And sometimes that means bringing up issues that aren't that comfortable. Let me go back to you now, Katie, because there's also a lot of comfort in this text. I mean, there is so much positive stuff here. What are you thinking, Katie, about Acts and about your preaching coming up on Pentecost?
You're right. There's a whole lot of things you can actually choose from. It's fortunate that we get to preach on it once a year, because that way, if you don't do it until the first year, you can keep going.
There you go.
And I guess the longer I'm in ministry, the more I'm like, oh, good, we get to do this again. So I'll write this down for next year. This year, I think what's coming up to me is the very beginning. It says when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. That has really struck me this year, particularly seeing in my denomination as so many churches are pulling away and going to different denominations because we don't always agree on everything. They were all together in one place. It doesn't say they all agreed on everything.
Absolutely.
It says they were all together. And I think especially knowing that people had come in for the 50-day feast and were together from all different cultures and different backgrounds, there were going to be points where they were not going to always be in agreement. And yet the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. And sometimes I think we like to believe that the Holy Spirit only falls upon us, but I don't think that that's what this is all about. I don't think that's what Pentecost is about at all. And so that's kind of where I'm beginning my sermon reflections at this point.
Excellent point. How in the world do we dwell together in a sense of unity? The Bible's clear that there's a call for that. We've just finished several readings in the Gospel of John last week, especially looking at Jesus' high priestly prayer, praying that we all would maybe one. How does that happen when we know good and well we all don't agree? And is theological and doctrinal conformity really a necessary element of all meeting together in the same place and gathering together around a common purpose? Powerful thing to explore, and a great image indeed.
One of the things N.T. Wright had to say in his New Testament for everybody, what's really important in the Christian community is to get into the midst of the Spirit. And he had a wonderful kind of image there of not stay keeping it at distance, but particularly with the Pentecostal experience, it's about somehow finding a way to find yourself living life in the Spirit. The thing that pulls us together, even when we don't disagree, when we don't agree,
absolutely,
is finding some way to let the Spirit call us together. And there's some language later about Abba and the language and the Spirit calling us together in some of these other texts that might tie in with some of this discussion of oneness.
That really gets me thinking. I was doing my research with the interpreter's interpretation commentary, and the focus there was on covenant renewal and the comparison of the Mount Sinai story when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, God gave the Ten Commandments to the people, and now this new covenant at this point. And I think a lot of times the Spirit comes in as we are brought into covenant with God and with one another. It's that peace where we can agree that even in points of theological disagreement, that our covenant together is with God, and the Spirit comes upon us in that place.
I love verse 6, which to me is the illustration that in a place where you're all together and in a place where the Spirit is moving, there's still room for everybody's individuality. The crowd is gathered, and they each one heard this message in their own language. There's room for me to remain who I am. I don't have to convert, and we all have to hear one language. I don't have to dress all one way. I don't even have to all believe one way. The Spirit is the one who does the work. The Spirit achieves the unity. It's not something we have to work at and sort of build by some forced or contrived kinds of means. Let's do talk, though, about how the other texts that are available for this day come into play. Our psalm is from Psalm 104, beginning in verse 24. And, O Lord, how manifold are your works. I love that word. Of course, to a good old Bubba growing up in the South, you go, what kind of manifold they have on that thing? But... Help me out a little bit here. Bubba, get us started.
Well, one thing is that since you get joking, I get too, although not a joke. My favorite verse in the Bible, among many, but one of my favorites is verse 26. The Leviathan that you formed for the sport of it. I have often said, if God has no sense of humor, I'm in deep trouble. And I just love that line. that the psalmist says, and you just made the whale just for the, you know, fun, just because it's cool.
Yeah.
And I love that image of God and the austerity that we sometimes bring to this. The whole solemnity about God is that there's this reference to that. The other thing in here is verse 30, of course, ties in with the Holy Spirit. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. And one of the things that I was thinking about is the tying about that tying back with the breath. When you take away their breath, they're dead. When you send forth your Spirit, actually, is Ruach again there. And you could say, when you send forth your Spirit, they are created, that we live and breathe in God. We are God's breath, as it were. And some of that imagery that goes with the Holy Spirit.
Well, a great reminder for us. This echoes the creation account. And we need to remember the Spirit is not a new experience at Pentecost. It's not the first time we've heard from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that it may come to the church in a new and fresh way and all of the wonderful things we take off from there, but the Spirit has been here since the opening pages of Genesis. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters, and Psalm here reminds us that it's God's Spirit, it's God's breath that gives life. Without the Spirit, there is no life.
Some commentators would opine that the importance of Pentecost is that the Spirit came not only to the Hebrews, to the Jewish folk, but on everyone. And that was spilled out onto everyone as a part of that fulfillment of what Joel was talking about, which is why then that speaking. It's not that the Jewish people were unaccustomed to the Spirit coming upon people. They weren't accustomed to it coming on people who weren't Jewish.
Right. And we want to turn that around sometimes, unfortunately, as Christians, yeah, in the 21st century, and look back and say, oh, well, the work of the Spirit, that's what's happening in our lives, and we fail to realize the Spirit has been working from before the moment of creation. And the Spirit is present in God's world, in God's creation, interweaving and supporting everything. Katie, Psalm 104, what would you like to offer?
I think the verse that stood out to me was verse 29. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. I could almost see a parent doing a peekaboo kind of thing with a child, where they hide their face, and then when they lift their hand, the child is surprised and excited to see their parent is still there. It gives me kind of that sense of God. Sometimes we feel like we don't see God at all, that dismal feeling of just being human. And yet when the hand comes back over the face and you see that God was there the whole time, that joy that fills us, that image just was really real for me.
It is. And it's a great lead into the Romans passage for today, which very specifically ties the presence of the Spirit in our lives. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. To open up thinking about just exactly what that means, Delmer, this is what you referenced earlier. We have here the cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. It's very intimate. What would you like to say, Delmer, then, about Romans?
Well, I just find it an interesting narrative flow, although it's not really a narrative. I started looking at it, and this whole sort of conversation about, in the modern world, let me say it this way, we talk about being children of God by being born children of God. You know, we're all created above God and all this, but this has got this language about both adoption and slavery. So I think this would be a good place to talk about what it means to be a child of God, and if we're children of God by birth, what does it mean to be adopted, and where does that flow in? And this issue of being a part of a household, and you are not a slave, but you're, you know, there were a lot of children in households who were slaves in that household, and we're not slaves in God's household, we're adopted. This whole language about heirs and joint heirs and equal with Christ and all this language and the Holy Spirit in the middle of it is kind of one of those things that needs to be a lot unpacked. But I think that's a good kind of, what is the nature of our relationship with God in Christ and with each other as a result of all of this is all packed into that one little, that one three verse text there about the Spirit moving on us and creating this relationship. I would play with those dynamics and unpack some of the tension that comes from these different understandings of what it means to be a child of God.
That's it, and I'm still dwelling with Katie's last point from the Psalm, and now carrying it into this, and seeing to be a child, all of the things that come along with it, you know, trusting and needing support and looking to see if the parent is there and all of that. And to say that the Spirit has now made us, has enacted this incredible thing that makes us children of God. And so I bring all of that over from having been a child, oh, so many years ago, and having reared children and understanding it from the perspective of a parent. And now, of course, I throw this in every chance I get, being a grandparent and watching the whole thing start all over again and seeing how utterly dependent a young child is, and yet what a thrill it is to see the responsiveness growing in that child and to feel a relationship of love developing. I bring that all over into this passage, and I say, wow, the Holy Spirit is bringing this relationship of child to parent between myself and God. That's a very rich experience, and maybe something that we overlook when we think about the work of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. We tend to think about all other kinds of things and not so much just this incredible, basic, life-affirming and enriching relationship of child to parent. See, well, Katie, you got me started there, okay? I love that image. Follow up for us a little bit, Katie, with Romans 8.
I'm looking at the end of the pericope, you know, the fact that it says the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This longing that is just a piece of us, you know, as we have explored the relationship between God and ourselves and the Spirit coming upon us, there's also this longing for more. You know, where is God going to take us? This hope for what we do not know, what we cannot see. And I get, you keep going back to the child image. In my case, I always think of my daughter who, when it's her birthday, it's like, when are we having a party? When is it coming? I'm so ready, you know, and it's not here yet. It's not here yet. And that feeling of just total anticipation and excitement. And what would it be like if we as the people of God anticipated that relationship with God in fullness that deeply?
There's another image there just with that one line about not receiving a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption. And you know how often in the Bible the line is fear not. You know how much how much God talks about not fearing. We got Pentecost and all this, and there's a fear not. And I'm still seeing that relationship of what it means to be brought into a household, and particularly speaking to the world in which this was written. You know, you don't be afraid. You're not a child, not a child, slave child of the master. You're a joint heir, beloved son, and
you're equal.
Equal. You're a joint heir. You're an equal. You're in this household. You're part of what we're doing, and I just love to play that in with as a child of what does it mean to be a part of this household, of this family.
Absolutely right, and I think particularly on an occasion in which you were going to work primarily with this Romans text, you do have to work a good bit to help contemporary listeners understand that slavery is far enough removed from us that we don't get a visceral experience of what it would have been like to think, wow, the difference in going from a slave to a child. I mean, the difference in the rights and the standing and just the kind of life you're going to look forward to leading are huge. And so, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity to work with that. And fear is probably the best entree that we have into understanding that. We don't have to be afraid for our lives because of this relationship of God to Spirit. And again, what do parents do for children? How many times, Katie, have you told your girls over the years, it's okay, honey, don't be afraid. You know, mom's here for you. Dad's here for you. We're going to get through this, whatever it may be. As usual, we get preachers together and we start talking about these texts. We're running close on our time, but I want to get to the gospel passage today, which we may or may not be preaching on, depending on how much you're doing with Acts. But we have an important passage in John 14 as Jesus helps us understand why and how the other, the advocate, the Spirit is going to come. Jesus is not going to be leaving us alone. What would you say, Baba, about the significance of this John 14 passage?
A couple of things that struck me, you know, I mean, John has what I call his usual circular stuff about I'm in God, Father, and the Father's in me, and all that kind of stuff. But as I got into this, there was this line 9 where it says, you will do greater things, and I said, greater works than these. You will do greater works than these. And I started thinking about that, and I started realizing, well, you know, we do. I mean, Jesus did healing, but think of all the Christian influence on hospitals and hospice and all the various ways and mercy and hospital and care and all of that here influenced by Jesus. And I said, gosh, I guess we do. And what about all the preaching of the gospel that did about the coming of the kingdom and how much has been done? And I started thinking, you know, that's one way to look at this, that that promise has come to some real fulfillment in the life of the church. We are the body of Christ. That is the ongoing life that is inspired and driven by the breath of God. The other thing that struck me, and this is a question that I think sometimes I say, if something like that gets said, you've got to deal with it. And the one that said, the one line, if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Somebody's going to hear it and they're going to have to deal with it. It doesn't take a blab it, grab it person. You know, a prosperity gospel person. People are sitting there saying, well, I prayed for lots of things that didn't happen. How does that work? That's one of those questions you need to decide whether your congregation may need to hear something about. It depends on your context, but it sort of sits there, and most people will hear it and wonder about it.
I know the way I was raised, that was one of those things, if you said it, then you think, well, then my faith isn't strong enough, or I'm not good enough, or God doesn't love me as much, and that can bring out some negative connotations.
It's a question that if you pastor long enough, you're going to have to deal with this section in John. You're going to have people, they may be, you come every week, salt of the earth, most God-fearing people, and they struggle with it. Katie, I think you're right. I think I've encountered over the years many people who say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with me? You know, I asked for this and it hasn't happened. I've prayed that my husband would come back. I've prayed that our marriage would be reconciled. I've prayed for my son, you know, that he would leave his lifestyle of addiction. I mean, there's just on and on and on. And people are not so much upset with God, but wondering about themselves. And then there's the other side of it. You're going to sooner or later come across a wag who says, well, yeah, I knew this Bible stuff wasn't true. See, look there in verse 14. I prayed one time for something. I didn't get it. So, you know, forget God. We are going to have to deal with it. I think, Delmer, the words you used, context is important. It's important in our own context. It's important in the context of the scripture. The purpose of this show today is not to necessarily lay out all the options for John 14:14, but to raise the issue that we're going to have to do some work around this.
Well, this wouldn't be a day to center your preaching on that text in the midst of Pentecost if you celebrate Pentecost. But there is a way in which you can talk about reference back to the Abba fatherly relationship, and this is complex. You might mention it, you know, as wherever you're going with the sermon, if you read the text.
Yeah.
For this day. I mean, in the Lutheran church, in the Episcopal church where I'm serving now, we read every text every Sunday, and people don't expect me to deal with every text.
Correct.
Every Sunday in 15 minutes. But I do, you need to be ready to be asked about it if you read it.
I think verses 16 and 17 are really the focus for Pentecost. And it tells us a little bit more about who the Spirit is and the fact that He abides with you, and He will be in you and be with you forever. That sense of presence that I think oftentimes is where we end up going when things are difficult. I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
I think you're absolutely right. That is the focus for this day of Pentecost. My quick one-liner, and back to the verse 14 dilemma for a moment, is to point out that it sits right next to verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And some of the people, especially those that I've dealt with that were a little more on the wag side than the sincere struggle side, I said, before we talk about verse 14, tell me how verse 15 is going for you. You know, the whole connection of love to obedience. Go. Tell me about the keeping the commandments part before we start holding God to every jot and tittle here.
You remind me of my niece last night. I was talking about my late aunt, who was very large. She was nosy, and she said, my mama told me whenever Aunt so-and-so asked me a question, just look at her and say, how much do you weigh? And she'll quit asking you questions.
Ooh.
And my niece said, you know what? It worked.
I was going to say probably the best sermon I think I ever did for Pentecost focused on the fact that they thought they were drunk, and he said, no, they're not drunk. This is the Spirit. And so I entitled my sermon, It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And we had a good turnout that day.
I like it.
Just want to advise everybody not to forget to have fun.
Have some fun.
And be a little bit open to the spirit on this day.
There's a novel idea. Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today, and we hope things continue to go well there in Tiffin, and as you are moving through into and through the teenage years with your daughters, that you and Bill survive those well. We would love to have you back on the show again sometime.
I look forward to it.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Bye, Katie.
All right, Bubba. Well, it's been good. I enjoyed talking with Katie. As always, I enjoy talking to you. Congratulations to your family on your son Joseph's achievement, graduating from law school. Hope y'all have a great weekend together. A very happy Mother's Day. I know it's doing your mama good to have her boy back home.
You know, we're just having a good time all the way around, Mom and people to all our listeners. You know, take some time for yourself. You know, the church will be there when you get back.
I think those are great words of wisdom, and with that, I reckon we'll wrap it up. Tell everybody bye, Bubba.
Bye.
Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Our opening theme is Mama Told Me by Frank Anea. We go out this session with Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God, composed by Stuart Townend and Keith Getty, performed by Keith and Kristen Getty.
The face of Christ will Christ with me and Christ before me, Christ behind me and Christ in me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ to my right and Christ to my left, Christ when I lie down and Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation.